Blog Talk Radio.
Your bliss is waiting. Reconnect with the love within. Welcome to Wish Me Love with your host, Raquel Hanna.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wish Me Love. This is your host, Raquel Hanna, and I'm so excited to be with you today as we explore the art of yoga. Yoga is all about the breath, and the breath returns us to our heart. It brings us to a point of inspiration and a point of connection with self. And when we're in a space of connection with self, we can then in turn be in a space of connection with others. I'm so excited about our show today on the topic of yoga, and I'm excited about our guest, Susan Fritz. She has been a certified yoga instructor since 1999. And she's going to just teach us from her experience as an instructor and as an avid practitioner of yoga, share with us her thoughts and teach us about the benefits of yoga. Without further ado, I want to go ahead and welcome Susan to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you? I'm excited to be on with you.
Yes, I'm excited to be with you as well.
And can you hear me okay, hopefully?
Oh, yeah, you're perfect. No worries.
Great.
I checked out your Facebook post and saw that you did Bikram yoga with a famous somebody. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, I'll make a long story short, but I was having a day where nothing I had planned was going as planned, and it was rainy and it was yucky. And I don't have these days very often, but I was just like, you know, this feels like kind of a wasted day. And when I have a day where I'm frustrated and nothing seems to go right, I've always felt this way. If I can at least get a yoga practice in of some sort, it's almost like, and especially one that where you sweat so much, it's like you sweat out the day and you sweat out all the negativity. So I'm rarely practice Bikram yoga. And for those people who don't know, it's practiced in a room that's 105 degrees. Sometimes it's more. It's crazy people do this. I don't know. but there was one class left at the studio I go to, and it was at 4:00, and I said, I'm going to this class. I don't care what it is. I'm just going to show up. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, like, everything about the whole day made sense because I heard the voice. I heard the very, you know, voice that kind of is where I'm from, almost the Midwestern twang, and I said, that is Sarah Palin. I looked over, and it was Sarah Palin with her glasses and the hair and a bandana, and this little tennis skirt, and I just laughed to myself. I didn't stare or anything, but I thought, for some reason, this is so hilarious and so entertaining. Like, this made my whole day worth it and the whole trajectory of how things had gone. I did my yoga. I wasn't gawking, but it was pretty entertaining. Long story longer.
Yeah, that definitely would be entertaining to me. I'm not sure that I would have made it through the class without staring. So that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So getting into the space of our show today, having been a yoga instructor since 1999, I want to hear a little bit about what inspired you to take up yoga as a practice to begin with and ultimately led to you becoming an instructor.
Well, I kind of stumbled into it, like a lot of good things in life. I was a person who played sports, but I was never very good. I was a good bench warmer back in growing up, and I'm very tall, so I always felt kind of awkward. And one day, for some reason, I had decided to go. I was living in New York City at the time. I was going to school there, and I decided to go to this, I don't remember what it was called, but it was some kind of yoga class at the gym that I went to. So it was a gym yoga class. Showed up, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done, and I was so confused and lost. But there were all these people in there, and there was just, I can't explain it, but there was something about it where I was like, I want to try this again. And I just really connected with it. It wasn't dance. It wasn't athletic. It was something else. And so I went back, and I kept going back, and I would look at these people in the room and just go, I'm going to be able to do that. And it was, you know, and I always say, like, if you're into anything, it doesn't matter where you start. If you start with stretching, if you start with at a gym, it doesn't have to be some kind of holier-than-thou moment or place. If it hooks you, like it did with me, then you kind of seek out more of a deeper level. So that's sort of what I did. I took a few classes, and then somehow, as I do, I researched, like, all right, I want to know more about this. I got more into it and learned more, and I heard about this teacher training in San Francisco. And there was quite a, there were quite a few yoga teachers back then, but not quite as many, and I was pretty young. I mean, I was, I don't know, still like 20 or something. And I didn't ever expect to teach after learning this. I just thought, okay, I'm going to deepen my practice, which is what a lot of people do. So I never had any plans to teach yoga, but I knew how to do it, and I had that skill. And so I went back to college, finished, and then ended up, long story short again, living in Texas. And somehow that was the thing that I could do, and there was an opening. So I just sort of went for it and started teaching a few years later, actually. So after I was certified.
So you actually went to training in order to just become a better practitioner, not to become an instructor.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I in the back of my mind, I thought, well, this will be, because all of my, so I was doing an individualized study degree. So everything I did was kind of like, what, there's no, I'm not going to graduate from college and become a lawyer or a teacher. There was nothing specific that I, and I was a performer, did some acting, and that was really my focus. But this was kind of like my version of the fallback career was teaching yoga. And it was something that I loved so much that I just wanted to know more about it. So, yeah, it was really just to deepen my practice and learn all the Sanskrit names and learn more about the anatomy of it and get to study with some great teachers, too, along the way.
And in the space of the actual practice, I know one of the things you mentioned to me was yoga being about the breath and how it helps us to connect ourselves with ourselves. And I just wanted mm-hmm. to hear more about kind of the spiritual and the oneness and the space around how it really integrates our mind-body connection.
Well, what's interesting is that the breath work in yoga is called pranayama. So the word prana is, you know, the life force. And it's actually the most advanced part. It's the most important, but it's also the most advanced part of yoga, I would say. And, you know, in a lot of classes, people will say, or instructors will say, you're not doing the pose unless you're breathing. But sometimes it's really difficult to access, remember to breathe. And for me, Ben, as time goes on and as sometimes I back off my practice or sometimes I've been injured, I've really learned that the more I do this practice, the more the breath connects me with what actually is going on and what actually matters. And my breath has deepened my practice. I mean, I'm able to focus on it more. And it's just like in meditation, but it's different. It's a moving meditation. So, you know, you're able to access, I don't know, how would I put it? Like, inhaling is what you're focusing on. You're not focusing on, at least in Ashtanga yoga, I would say, that the style that I teach, it's more of a focus on the breath rather than the alignment of the body, because if you don't have that, if you're not breathing, you're not actually doing the practice. I think I'm repeating myself, but there's something about it that I take out into my day, and I've taken through some really difficult times. When you're going through something, if you can access that breath and if you can just focus on the inhale, focus on the exhale, evening them out, you can find the peace within, if nothing else. You can find a point that's always true, kind of the, and that true point is the inspiration. So I even notice I'm a writer too, and when I'm writing, sometimes I'll just take a breath, and it all comes from my yoga practice. I mean, I don't really know how I would have survived a lot of moments if I hadn't had the breath. And when you train in a yoga class, it's really just training for the rest of your day, the rest of your life. When you're learning this different breathing techniques, but just basic inhale, exhale, the purpose of it isn't for the yoga class. It's for everything else. So I guess the more I've practiced and the more I've learned, the more I see how true that is. And again, if the way to access to that is by going to a gym or by taking a class, eventually you'll figure out that it's not about any of that. It really is about the breath and the breath that's going to bring you back inside.
Yeah, the breath is, you know, it's a powerful centering. I know in the coach work set we do, that was one of the first things that we learned, is the breath takes us from our head to our heart. And that was one of the things that, that I experienced. I did a Bikram yoga challenge, and this is the only yoga I've ever done, Bikram yoga.
Yeah.
And so I am, as you mentioned, one of the crazies that go all in for the most extreme version. And I loved it because there were, I learned a lot about myself when I did Bikram yoga. One, because I did the 60-day challenge, I was, you know, have an ongoing struggle with really having a great relationship with food and my body weight being where I want it to be.
Right.
And when I finished the 60-day yoga challenge, especially with it being Bikram, I was like, oh, my God, I don't have a discipline issue. I considered myself to be someone with a discipline issue, and I realized, you know what, I didn't have a discipline issue. There was something else going on. And so that was one of the biggest things that I learned in my journey with yoga. It was just like being able to be in the space of honoring my body and honoring my breath. I was able to get clarity about that one ongoing issue, and I had completely misunderstood what was going on for me, and I got clarity there. But I also felt in the space, as the instructors were guiding us, to the breath, to be in the space of the breath. It was a beautiful experience to really tap into understanding how I actually could move through emotions while in the space of being physically active. So while I was in the space of Bikram yoga, I was actually moving through some of my unresolved emotions because of the connection to the breath.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I had that exact same thought, and also, you know, problems, body issues and all of that. But the discipline thing is interesting because I've always said, oh, I'm just being lazy or just procrastinating. But and yet I will do this yoga practice with persistence and always. So there is no discipline. That's a really helpful way of no discipline issue. That's really interesting that you said that. But that's also really important what you brought up about the emotions. I mean, our body stores these emotions, and when we don't allow them to come through and we don't breathe them through our bodies, they get stuck. And so the breath, along with the postures, especially at the hips, the lower back, these certain areas where people hold their emotions, it's not, you know, woo-woo to say that these things are trapped. And especially a practice like Bikram or Ashtanga, which is actually similar in that they are both the same series of postures every time. I feel like that predictability of what's next allows you to focus on the breath more because you're not thinking, oh, what's the teacher going to tell me to do next? Like when you start to know the sequence, then you can breathe in, feel the emotion, release some of the extra emotions, and then move on. I mean, it would be great if we all had never stored up any of this stuff and didn't have to get rid of it. But it is it's a cleansing practice on a lot of levels. And I think the emotional level is actually the most important. So that's amazing. The Bikram Challenge is no joke. I've done it too.
Nope, it isn't a joke. And I challenged myself to never leave the room. Like, I'm in the room the whole time, and I never did. I was really – there are a few moments where
you.
I'm like, I'm about to leave. But instead, I just laid out, you know. I just laid out and allowed myself to be with the moment and stayed in the room. And it was a beautiful experience. And, you know, when you talk about the different types of yoga, so we brought up two different types, but in my research, there are many different practices. What is it? You just shared one of the benefits about the two types of yoga we have mentioned, is that the series poses are the same, so you're able to be in line with your breath as you become more familiar with the practice, which is part of the purpose of yoga. But what would you say is the difference between all the practices, and is there really one that is right to choose over the other?
It's such an interesting, I mean, this could be like an 800-hour discussion. I won't make it that. But when we're talking about, most of the time, when at least in the West, when we talk about yoga, we're talking about the physical asana practice. So asana is the name, the Sanskrit name for posture or pose. And hatha or hatha is kind of, I look at it like at the top of a chart. It's sort of the umbrella for all of the physical practices of yoga. So, of course, there are other types of yoga like bhakti yoga, which is devotional yoga, and just different types of yoga that don't emphasize the physical practice. But when you're talking about, as we are, like Bikram and Ashtanga, the thing that there's kind of, I would say, invented types of yoga as well that have sprung up. People, I mean, I can get a little snobby, I guess, about it, but people sort of trying to reinvent the wheel, like coming up with their own sequences. But vinyasa yoga is a little bit different than Bikram, because Bikram, there are a bunch of static postures, so you're not flowing, as you'd say in vinyasa. Mm. In vinyasa yoga, you link a posture with the breath and movement. So you're kind of, you're holding a posture maybe for five breaths or something, but then you're moving on. And it's very popular because it's, you know, in our culture, it's like, let's see, can we make this a workout? Can we move around? Can we get our heart rate up? So there's a lot of that going on. Bikram will get your heart up, but rate up for sure because it's so hot, but it's not the same idea. And in Ashtanga, is actually, the word Ashtanga means eight limbs. So there's the Ashta is eight, and it actually incorporates a lot of different disciplines, but the one part of the eight limbs is the vinyasa and the movement. And so it's Ashtanga vinyasa yoga, which links the poses again, like I was saying. So that's where the Bikram and Ashtanga differ. And then the other main type, where I would say, is Iyengar and BKS Iyengar. All of these, Ashtanga, the Pattabhi Joyce was the founder of and Iyengar was Iyengar yoga, and they all came from the same teacher, Krishnamacharya. And I won't get into that, but Iyengar is alignment-based. So a lot of the times, people will recommend Iyengar to a beginner because it's very difficult to hurt yourself, first of all, and you use a lot of props, especially an older person or a very stiff person or maybe even an athlete who doesn't have access to flexibility, you know, didn't dance, isn't a ballerina or something. It's a great way to start because it's very accommodating, and you can use a block if you can't reach something, or you can use a strap. And so Iyengar yoga is really great for that. I always found it, I would get too much in my head when I practiced Iyengar. I really love it and I appreciate it, and I've studied a lot of it. But for me, I was looking to get out of my head and to have more of a meditative practice, which would be more the vinyasa type. And then there sprung up things just hot yoga, which people call hot yoga because they have to pay Bikram to use his name. So they changed it that way. Yeah.
So from your perspective, it's the same. It's just they're not having to pay those fees.
Well, actually, I mean, things get really technical because there is an actual hot yoga series that was formed by another guy in India. Names aren't that important, but there is a specific series there too, which is very similar to the Bikram series. But then there's just, yeah, people who are like tweaking it just by one or two poses, and so they don't have to call it Bikram. So that's the whole politics of yoga, which is kind of gets yucky, honestly. So I've spent a lot of the years practicing on my own. I've lived a lot of different places. So, I mean, as long as I have my yoga mat, I practice. And sometimes I invent my own yoga, too. I just do different poses. But let's see what else. There's Anyasara yoga, which was pretty popular for a while. And that is a very alignment-based yoga as well. But they get even more specific. So I've kind of studied all of these different types of yoga. And I've been really lucky to practice with some great teachers and some kind of legends in the, I don't know how I got so lucky, but so there's this other type of yoga, Dharma yoga, Dharma Mitra is a teacher who's still alive in New York City, and he has kind of his own style. But at the end of the day, unless it's Bikram or Iyengar, all the vinyasa classes are more about movement. And, you know, there's the power yoga movement. You don't hear power yoga quite as much as you did maybe 10 years ago or something, but power yoga was a version of Ashtanga. So they're all kind of, you know, they're all a version of the same thing in some ways. People would be totally scandalized that I said that, but it's kind of true. I mean, as long as you're doing a triangle pose, you know, you're doing it different ways, but you're still a shape, just making shape. Sometimes I just think of it as making shapes with your body. And that allows you to tap into something else, hopefully. It doesn't have to. If you don't care about getting deeper into the practice, I think somehow it will still find you. I hesitate to get too snobby about it, even though I can. I don't know what other word to use than snobby. But I think that there is no reason to do that, because if it wants to find you, if you're interested in exploring a deeper practice, you will. I mean, the only problem sometimes is that it's difficult to find, I would say, a more traditional style, because everybody does want it. It's you know, when it's a business, people try to businessify it.
So the traditional may not be as marketable, so it's not as easy to locate those versions of the practice. Is that what you're stating?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I think that's my only hesitation with saying, you know, go to any yoga class, because I have a lot of friends who are very into different kinds of workouts, and they've gone to one yoga class and they say, I don't like yoga. And this is the other thing I would say to people. Hmm. If you go to one yoga class and you don't like it, chances are there's another yoga class that you might like. I mean, don't give up based on one class. The teacher can be different. The style can be very different depending on the day. I mean, I remember sometimes I would teach and I yoga teachers get tired too and have bad days. So sometimes it's like anything else. It's a real effort to show up and leave that behind when you're teaching, just like when you're practicing. So I don't know. I would encourage people to try different styles, actually. That's kind of the best way to see what you like. I used to teach beginner series for Ashtanga, and I wasn't a very good salesperson, speaking of businesses, because I would always say, listen, this is kind of specific and it's not easy. So if you don't like it, you don't have to come back. I won't be offended. I didn't invent this practice. I mean, I told some bad jokes too, so that probably didn't help things. But I think it's a great practice because it's very individual and people can find what works best for them if they just kind of seek it out.
So I want to ask you, we talked a little bit about the emotional process of kind of moving through emotions and wounds, emotional wounds through the breath.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier about physical injury. So I just want to find out a little bit more about your experience with being injured yourself and how yoga may have aided or detracted from your recovery. Is yoga a space where we could go when we are physically wounded? Is it best to not practice when we're wounded? Like, what is your experience?
My experience is pretty interesting, and it surprises some people and not others. I would say, first of all, that yoga is a great place for most people to go if they've injured themselves, especially Bikram because of the heat, actually. It's very, very therapeutic, that heat. But in my experience, I was doing some more advanced postures. There's different series of Ashtanga, and I was starting to do some second series, and, you know, legs behind the head, and just very... Mm-hmm. Sort of Cirque du Soleil-esque. And I was doing a pose that I really shouldn't have been doing because I hadn't been practicing those poses consistently. But also, my teacher at the time had gave me an adjustment, and I basically knew that I had immediately that I really injured my back, and I ended up having a bulging disc between L3 and L4, so it's lower back, and it was debilitating. And I was still teaching, and I felt like I could hardly sit down or walk, let alone practice yoga. And what it did to me was I was very depressed. Not only was it was painful and everything else that the back injury did, but I think it might have released a lot of emotions, but the emotions that came from it were me realizing how attached I was to the physical practice and the things that I could do. Out of anything in my 17 years of yoga, that was the most significant moment. It took about 2 years before it really felt even okay, and I still deal with that injury now, but it taught me more than anything else could have. And people say that injuries do teach you, but I learned, because non-attachment is a big component of of yoga, and I was very attached to the poses, when of course that's not the point. So I learned a lot about myself, and I had to really, it brought up a lot of insecurities in me, it brought up a lot of emotions, but at that point what was left was the breath. I could still breathe, I could still return to that. That never goes away, and I think that's also why it is the most important aspect of the practice. But yeah, it was pretty upsetting, because I felt like the thing that I loved the most was kind of taken from me for a while, and I had to learn how to do it differently. But ultimately, it was supposed to happen, I think.
You know, what I love in hearing that story is you, just the realization of how we can be in the space of trying to do the right thing, but still have a different intention or a different agenda. And it sounds like your injury pulled you out of that agenda that was separating you from the purpose of your practice in the first place. And that's definitely a beautiful reminder, I think, for me and for all of us. You know, whatever we're doing, whatever we're stepping into, whether it is a yoga practice or it's a spiritual journey, you know, a lot of people who are listening to this show and a lot of the people in my life, including myself, are researching, you know, all types of different spiritual practices. But sometimes, even in the midst of attempting to do the right thing, we may have an agenda that's pulling us further away from ourselves and further away from the oneness that we're seeking. So that is a profound, profound lesson, and a beautiful kind of idea of really being in the space of yoga or anything else to really allow ourselves to honor our true intentions and to not lose sight of why we are here, not only in our practices, but why we're here on the planet to begin with, and what we really want from our lives. I'm reading a book right now with my work book club called How Will You Measure Your Life? And it's just a beautiful, beautiful reminder, what you just shared, to really be in the space of measuring what we're doing the right way and being in the right intention. So what I heard there, I heard that yoga can bring healing. I also heard that you have to be safe and practice carefully, especially when you're getting to the advanced poses. There's so much more I know that we could talk about when we're getting to the end of the show. But I did want to mention, today is September 13th is a Virgo new moon, and we are also to be in a partial solar eclipse. And one of the things, I was reading an article about that today from an astrologer, and they actually mentioned starting a yoga practice. You know, this is a perfect time to get in the space of really connecting with your body, connecting with your health. So I'm going to take the beautiful opportunity that we landed on today for this show as a sign. I'm going to go find a yoga practice to start this week, and because I have been out of it for a little bit, so I'm going to take this as an inspiration to either get back into Bikram or to try a different type of yoga. And I will definitely keep you posted, and we'll also have you back to maybe talk about the journey once I've gotten back in it and continue this beautiful conversation. But before we end the show, is there anything else that you would like to share with us?
Yay, that's so great. Well, you just put things so succinctly and beautifully. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. I would say, now that you're bringing something up for me, that I never necessarily heeded my own advice, but I still believe, and I try to do this now, that consistency and just doing little bits is so much more beneficial than going all out. I mean, it's so amazing, and you learn so much to do like a 30-day challenge or do something every day. But if you do 15 minutes of a yoga practice more consistently, like 3 to 5 times a week, you will get amazing benefits from it. And so it's like the less is more thing is really true. And the breathing through that. And so there's something about just being kind to yourself while you're practicing yoga. It's not a competition. It's never been a competition. You're just trying to learn, gather information about yourself. So I would encourage people to just do a little bit. Do less than you think you should. And then you might find yourself doing more.
I love that. Be consistent. Rather than being a champion, be consistent. I love that, and we will take that with us. Thank you so much for having for being on the show. It's been wonderful to have you. I loved this conversation so much that I know that I will have you back, and we'll continue this beautiful conversation around the art of yoga. Thanks so much again, Susan. As always, thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I wish you love. Have a wonderful day.